As the ripples widen, the magic gets fainter, although it never dies and can still be felt by things far more sensitive than any shamble. Let the eye move and fall now on this wood, this clearing, this cottage. There is nothing on the walls but whitewash, nothing on the floor but cold stone. The huge fireplace doesn't even have a cooking stove. A black tea kettle hangs on a black hook over what can hardly be called a fire at all. It's just a few little sticks huddling together. This is the house of a life peeled to the core. Upstairs, an old woman, all in faded black, is lying on a narrow bed. But you wouldn't think she was dead, because there is a big card on a string around her neck that reads, "I ain't dead." And you have to believe it when it's written down like that. Her eyes are shut, her hands are crossed on her chest, her mouth is open. And bees crawl into her mouth and over her ears and all over her pillow. They fill the room, flying in and out of the open window, where someone has put a row of saucers filled with sugary water on the sill. None of the saucers match, of course. A witch never has matching crockery. But the bees work on, coming and going, busy as bees. When the ripple of magic passes through, the buzz rises to a roar. Bees pour in through the window, urgently, as though driven by a gale. They land on the still old woman until her head and shoulders are a boiling mass of tiny brown bodies. And then, as one insect, they rise in a storm and pour away into the outside air, which is full of whirling seeds from the sycamore trees outside. Mistress Weatherwax sat bolt upright and said, "Bzzzt." Then she stuck a finger into her mouth, rootled around a bit, and pulled out a struggling bee. She blew on it and shooed it out of the window. For a moment her eyes seemed to have many facets, just like a bee's.
"So," she said, "she's learned how to borrow, has she? Or she's been borrowed."
Anagramma fainted. Zack-Zack stared, too afraid to faint. "You see," said Tiffany, while something in the air went gloop, gloop above them. "A frog weighs only a few ounces, but Brian weighs, about 120 pounds, yes? So, to turn someone big into a frog, you've got to find something to do with all the bits you can't fit into a frog, right?" She bent down and lifted up the pointy wizard's hat on the floor. "Happy, Brian?" she asked. A small frog, squatting in a heap of clothes, looked up and said, "Urk." Zack-Zack didn't look at the frog. He was looking at the thing that went gloop, gloop. It was like a large pink balloon full of water, quite pretty, really, wobbling gently against the ceiling.
"You've killed him," he mumbled.
"What? Oh, no. That's just the stuff he doesn't need right now. It's sort of spare Brian."
"Urk,"
said Brian. "Gloop," went the rest of him.
"About this discount," Zack-Zack began hurriedly. 10% would be..."
Tiffany waved the wand. Behind her, the whole display of crystals rose in the air and began to orbit one another in a glittering and, above all, fragile way.
"That wand shouldn't do that," he said.
"Of course it can't. It's rubbish, but I can," said Tiffany. 90% discount, did I hear you say? Think quickly, I'm getting tired, and the spare Brian is getting heavy.
"You can keep it all," Zack-Zack screamed, "for free. Just don't let him splash, please."
"No, no. I'd like you to stay in business," said Tiffany. "A 90% discount would be fine. I'd like you to think of me as a friend."
"Yes, yes, I am your friend. I'm a very friendly person. Now, please, put him back, please."
Zack-Zack dropped to his knees, which wasn't very far.
"Please, he's not really a wizard. He just did evening classes there in fretwork. They hire out classrooms, that sort of thing. He thinks I don't know. But he read a few of the magical books on the quiet, and he pinched the robes, and he can talk wizard lingo, so she'd hardly know the difference. Please, I'd never get a real wizard for the money I pay him. Don't hurt him, please."
Tiffany waved a hand. There was a moment even more unpleasant than the one that had ended up with the spare Brian bumping against the ceiling, and then the whole Brian stood there blinking.
"Thank you, thank you, thank you," gasped Zack-Zack.
Brian blinked.
"What just happened?" he asked.
Zack-Zack, beside himself with horror and relief, patted him frantically.
"You're all there," he said. "You're not a balloon."
"Here, get off."